meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Tony,
hello,
Christina,
hello, Father.
Nicholas,
welcome.
On the other side of the curtain, and Armand is here as well. The gang.
The gang is here.
What's the song? Hey, the gang is...
The gang's all here.
Anyway, welcome everybody. We had a beautiful feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Beautiful.
So nice. Las Mañanitas, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's always a very moving experience. Were you...
Yes.
You were there, yeah.
It was there with
it's
Angelica.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. And then, of course, by the time we got to the Mass in the evening, I think everybody was...
We were tired.
Tired.
It was a long day.
A very, very long day. But I'll tell you, they make the best hot chocolate, you know?
The Mexican-style chocolate.
They do. Wow, it is. Absolutely.
It's not too sweet. It's perfect.
Delicious. Mm-hmm. I can taste it now. Tamales.
Yeah, and I'm getting hungry now.
The sweet bread.
Yes.
What's that?
It's 12 o'clock. This is when
this
you get
is the time.
Hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but anyway, it was a beautiful. And so we're in this is now the time of the season, Advent season, when people are getting a little bit stressed. We might get into that a little bit later. I've got a lot of things I'd like to cover today. Don't know if I'll get to it all, but I want to begin with the talk about gift giving, which can be very stressful. Especially at this time of year, if you're not ready, right? So Nick is raising his hand.
It's always the case. Yeah,
somebody sent me a joke that to lay down under the tree, show the family that they're a gift to the family.
There you go. Yeah. So we got. I want to talk about the scholarships to the Catholic schools because this is really quite urgent. So I'm going to get to that first of all. Today's a feast of Saint Lucy. It's very
Saint Lucy,
beautiful saint. The wanted to get to this, talking about stress, habits that trigger holiday stress.
Let's go with that.
The origin of the Christmas tree, or the Christmas crib. The epidemic of lonely Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting one. Ten reasons why atheists should celebrate Christmas. Anyway, we're not going to get to all that,
right.
But today
next
and tomorrow.
It's coming up.
Next week, and I want to get to the stories as well.
Yes.
So. But I want to begin with this. Well, first of all, you know, we've had confessions this week for the kids. So I just finished the students' confessions this morning. But I was talking to a student. This is a lead into this, the need for scholarships. So this was a student who has only been in our school a couple of years. She's not a Catholic. She's a Pentecostal, and so I asked her, you know, how did you end up in our school? And she said that they received something in the mail about scholarship. I don't know if we sent it out or what, but and her parents thought, you know, this would be a nice opportunity, you know, to see if we can bring our daughter, the youngest of many children. The only one to go to a private school, to a Catholic school, and they're devout Pentecostals.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to get her into the school. So this is the first time we've really had a conversation, but I wanted to ask her about the Pentecostal, because she's a devout, or her family, when I say devout, I mean they're practicing Pentecostals, because I ask, you know, what are you doing for Christmas, and you know, what's your tradition? I ask that of all the students anyway. And so I said, I said, what is, so you're a Pentecostal, your family's Pentecostal, you're in a Catholic school, you go to the Catholic Mass when we have the children's school, mass, yes. School Mass. I said, how do you feel about that? What's the difference between your religious service. And the Catholic Mass, our religious liturgy or service? And you know what she said? She said, I find the Mass calming.
Wow.
Calming, peaceful. And I thought, this is really exactly what it should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
Yes.
Even though the gospel of the day or the homily, the preaching could get a little bit maybe agitating sometimes, because sometimes the message is strong.
Strong, yeah.
But it brings us then to the canon, to the Eucharistic celebration, and that in and of itself should be a calming experience, a peaceful experience, because it is in a sense, it's our going to Bethlehem, our going to Calvary.
And it is a calming experience, Father. It's even if you come into the Mass with stress or whatever problems you might have, it does bring you to that calming presence, because our Lord is present there.
Right, and we have to get out of the way and do what we can to lift the veil, so that people can be drawn into that, to those sacred mysteries. We speak about that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But let me, because I don't want to miss this opportunity.
Sure.
Really, it speaks to the that's just a religious aspect. I mean, that these students have access to the worship of God. They have, we go to Mass once a week, and we have prayers every day. But apart from that, you know, the education, a safe environment, it's a beautiful environment. The fact that you can even, if you go into the school right now, we've got the nativity set, we've got the many Christmas trees.
Christmas trees.
So there's just an ambiance that speaks to the seasons, whatever the seasons might be. I'm not talking about winter, summer, spring, fall, but the religious seasons. Yes. And so the kids are constantly exposed to that. And it does it does feed into the curriculum, but in any case, this is the Christmas season. You know, you're looking for something to do, some kind of a way to give gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to suggest, and this is it's an urgent request, really, because and you'd be the beneficiary. Not only would the students be beneficiaries, but you'd be the beneficiary. There's many students that want to go to the Catholic school, but they cannot, because they can't afford it.
No.
So, as much as I don't like to talk about money, I do want to share with you, this is an opportunity. It's something that has to be done right now, though, that would allow you to make a charitable contribution to provide student scholarships to a Catholic school in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and get this, deduct 75% of your donation from what you owe in Illinois state income taxes. Okay, so the program is called Tuition Credit Scholarship. Tuition Credit Scholarship, and in addition, if you make your contribution through what's called Empower Illinois, some anonymous donors have promised to match donations to Archdiocesan Catholic schools 2-to-1. Now, I'll break that down so you can follow this. For example, if you wish to donate $100, the matching funds would add $200, making the total donation worth $300. This is towards scholarship money, so that students who otherwise could not would be able to go to the Catholic school. Okay, then you can deduct 75% of your $100 donation, that is $75, from what you owe the state in income taxes. Basically, your outlay is $25, and the school will get $300 in scholarship funds for students. That's just one example. That's an example of $100, but the truth is any amount would be helpful. It's quite a deal, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So there's a process to making this happen, and it might seem a little complicated, but just try to stay with me. Donors, if you'd like to donate towards scholarships to Catholic school, you have to contact the state to get an ID, which takes about 7 to 10 business days for the state to mail to you before you can get your donation. This means that it would be important to start the process today so that you can complete it before the end of the year. That's why I say it's urgent. Now, the directions are available by email, at, and I'll repeat this, T as in Tony, C, S as in Sam, at archchicago.org. So that's T, C, S, at archchicago.org. The archchicago.org. Or you can call the Archdiocese of Chicago Tax Credit Hotline at, and I'll repeat this, 312-534-2617. So 312-534-2617. So in order to participate in this and get a deduction from your Illinois state tax, you have to email, or the directions are available at tcs@archchicago.org or the Archdiocesan Chicago Tax Credit Hotline at 312-534-2617. 312-534-2617. Our parish also has prepared a document that takes you step by step through the process. And we sent this out to everyone on our email list just the other day, on Tuesday. But if you didn't get it, you can send an email to restoreststands@comcast.net. So I'm going to spell that out for you, so we can get you the information or the directions. So it's you email to, and this will get you on the email list, RESTORESTSTANS, Restore St. Stans, Saint, S-T, at comcast.net. I'll say that one more time because it's a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just spell it out. This is our email, and this gets you on the email, and then we can send you the information. So you'd email to R-E-S-T as in Tony, O-R-E-S-T S-T-A-N-S at comcast.net. And then we'll get this information to you as soon as possible. Now, the new governor of the state of Illinois has not indicated support for this program, so it might not be available next year, just perhaps only this year, available for the schools. And remember, if you can give any amount in the tuition credit scholarship program through Empower Illinois this year, your donation will be matched 2-for-1 and you will be rewarded by reducing your state taxes. And of course, God will reward your generosity. But that's a great opportunity. This would be a great gift.
Yeah,
you know, it would provide students for scholarship and you like again if you donate $100, it's going to be
doubled.
100 to 200, 300.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you get a deduction of 75% of your $100 donation.
Wow.
So you're really basically donating $25 and providing a $300 scholarship.
Wow.
Okay. So we'll maybe repeat that some of this at the end of the program and tomorrow as well. But it has to be done now. That's the thing. This is the time to do it. You want to get this done before the end of the year. So that's Empower Illinois Tuition Credit Scholarship. Again, the email tcs@archchicago.org or the Archdiocesan of Chicago Tax Credit Hotline 312-534-2617. Or email Restore St. Stans, RESTOREST STANS, at Comcast.net. All right. Is it possible to get just some of those on the, was Armin there?
On the,
can we get that on the website or whatever the, okay, we'll take care of that. So, all right, everybody, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And what do we talk about first? The stress?
Stress.
Okay.
It's always good for stress.
Okay, we'll do that. And loneliness, the epidemic of loneliness, Catholic loneliness. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Monday, December 24th, Christmas Eve Day, and Tuesday, December 25th, Christmas Day, Winds of Change offers you a gift of music and reflection. Join us as Father Anthony, Christina, Tony, and Remembering Jerry from Christmases Past, Nick and Armin wish you a holy and happy Christmas from Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know how St. Nicholas became known as the defender of innocent human life? Well, when I was still Bishop of Myra, some townspeople begged me to stop the execution of three innocent men unjustly sentenced to death. With no time to lose, I rushed to the place where the first of the three men was about to be beheaded. Stepping forward, I grabbed the sword from the executioner's hands and threw it to the ground. Filled with fear, the corrupt judge fell to his knees and confessed he had taken a bribe in return for the death sentences. And the three innocent men were set free. Since then, I'm known as the defender of innocent human life. May this holy season make us truly grateful for the gift of every human life created in God's own image as we proclaim, Christ is born. Glorify him.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So stress, we hate to talk about stress at this time of the season, but it's a reality, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Really, it really, really is. Movies and social media make it seem like holidays are a perfect season filled with fun, with love, with laughter. But unfortunately, what they do is they keep us from the image that can, or from the stress of the season. Or what was that movie?
Which one?
It's a comedy Christmas movie.
No,
I saw it only once, maybe years ago. It was
National Lampoon's? No.
Tell me something about it.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Christmas,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
There's a lot of stress
in that, right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
when you're dealing with your family.
I was thinking of
Home
Alone.
Yeah, it's
Home Alone.
Well, that one's stressful too.
Right. Well,
because of the
families. Right as they were leaving, but once they got on a plane, you know, there was the Christmas story. You know, the is that the one with the kid that wanted the rifle? Yeah.
The Christmas story, yes.
Yeah, Christmas Carol.
No, story.
Christmas story.
Christmas story. Christmas story.
Yeah. Anyway, every year I see that.
Yeah, that one's funny.
I should see. By the way, so speaking of stress, Christmas stress, seasonal stress. I think she listens to the radio, but I just mentioned Camille, and I'll leave it at that. I don't know if I should mention names on the radio, but some people may not like that. But I was so stressed yesterday, even though it was a beautiful day, it was a beautiful feast day, but it's
not.
And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but there's just so much going on here. It's just unbelievable. And so I got this big box, you know, in the mail. I think it was the day before, and I hadn't even had a chance to open it. And so in the midst of all this stress, it was early in the afternoon, and I happened to open the box, and there were these CDs, Christmas music, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, two from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, Andy Williams, the Carpenters.
Wow. The Carpenter's Christmas CD?
Yes.
I have that one.
Yeah. And
it's beautiful.
Another one, too. I don't remember, but it was... So I just... You know what I did? The stress was so... It was so intense.
Yeah.
And I had so much to do. I says, you know, I'm going to my car, taking one of these... I took two of them. I took the Carpenter and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And just said, I'm just going to go for a ride.
Sure.
Down Michigan Avenue, State Street, whatever. And I listened to the Carpenters first. And as soon as I put it on,
there you go. That's how it works.
I listen to that every year.
It's
the Carpenters.
I've never heard it before.
Oh, it's beautiful.
She's got such a...
Beautiful. Calming voice.
Calming voice, yes. Exactly. And then the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is just the religious, purely religious... Sure. Beautiful, festive, but I thank you. You know, if Camilla's listening, what a timely gift.
Yes.
You know, that's how I always feel like God provides for me, because something I need at the moment, it's there. So that is something that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, that's what we have to do. We've got to create the space. Sometimes just put aside some of this stuff and just create. You know, for prayer, for I was speaking to somebody this morning as well about, just the peace that is disturbed. Just create the space. We got to create the space. That's why we keep the church open. It's like the student said, what's the difference between the Pentecostal service, religious service, and the Mass? I was just curious, because, you know, we hear from so many people, the Mass is boring and all that. And when she said, she didn't even hesitate. She said, it calms me. It's very calming, very peaceful.
I find that even in empty church, when you sit down, and I've learned to do that now, I've just learned to, even in the world of, you know, everything going on and buzzing around, if you just sit for a little bit and you just kind of close your eyes, it is very, very peaceful.
You know, and let me just say this about that, because I was in New York City, and I went into a church, I think it was called St. Bartholomew. So I figured, I just assumed it was a Catholic church. It was a beautiful church, an old church, in the upper, well, it was basically in Midtown, or maybe a little bit more on the Upper East Side. But I happened to walk in, and I thought, was open midday, and I sat there and I didn't feel, I felt empty. There was an emptiness about it, and I was disturbed by that, and I couldn't locate the tabernacle.
Oh, that'll do.
So I thought that was a little bit odd, because I just assumed this is a Catholic church.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that, because my brother sent me some pictures, because he travels a lot. So he went to New York. This was last year. And he went into a church, maybe it might be the same one, I don't know, but he said he went in there, and he sent me the pictures, and then he said, yeah, I went in there, but, you know, he's like, I felt like there was something off, like there was something, he said the same, and then when I saw the pictures, I said, doesn't look like a cat. There's something not right here in these yeah. pictures. And then he said, yeah. Then I he said I came out and it wasn't a Catholic church. He saw right. the sign.
Right. So when yes. when I left the church, I stayed there for a while and I just mm-hmm. it just did not. It there was just something not missing.
Missing.
An uh-huh. empty. There was an emptiness. Sure.
Cold.
It was beautiful. Maybe. There was an icon mm-hmm. of the Blessed Virgin. So I assumed, you know, this is Catholic. I just couldn't find the tabernacle, and I didn't immediately look for it. I just went to,
right.
because you know, the thing is, when the Blessed Sacrament is in the tabernacle, mm-hmm. you automatically, you have that, people may not know what it is. Mm-hmm. People will often say, what is it about this peace, mm-hmm. this presence that I find, that I feel? And of course, we always say it's the Blessed Sacrament. Right.
Yeah.
So you can go into a place, you don't have to look for it, you just, you know, you can just be, you know.
Yeah.
So this, as I say, this was, it was empty, it was, I mean, the church was empty, but I right. felt an emptiness.
Yes, yeah.
I didn't have that sense. And so when I left the church, I thought it was odd, but I was in the back part of the mm-hmm. church, and there was a woman on at a desk, mm-hmm. you know, at the one of the far...
On
ends
the side
of the
over there.
Vestibule, and I,
yeah.
and I went up to her, and then I saw all of a sudden the books and stuff with women priests and all this sure. kind of stuff, and I thought this isn't a Catholic church,
place.
And I was in the wrong place.
Maybe it's the same church, Mike, because he said on the outside it said Episcopalian.
This was Episcopalian. Yeah.
I have to ask him, but he
yeah, and so when
that.
I say that, it's not the besmirch Episcopalians or anything, but it's just the point is that the difference.
Yes.
Between, you know, when the Blessed Sacrament is in reservation or repose or mm-hmm. It's either reposed or it's in the tabernacle or exposed, it makes a big difference. So I suggest, you know, that's something to alleviate or to lessen the stress. I think we need to develop that discipline
mm-hmm.
of creating that space for prayer. Yeah.
Father, you have the chapel. The private chapel here in the rectory. So the tabernacle's there.
Right.
So every time people come in, either for the first time or they've been here a couple of times, they all say the same thing. There's something so peaceful here. They,
right.
They
oh,
feel...
That's why I'm always there. That's why I'm always...
it's
if you
true.
Notice, I'm always...
No, yes.
I slip into the chapel.
Yes.
See, it's interesting,
true.
Too, because even our room... used to be the chapel, you know, our room that we have our kids.
Oh, yes.
Right,
yeah, I thought of that, too.
And I'll never forget, even when we started doing that, before there was the monstrance, before mm-hmm. there was anything, that little room.
Still.
You still sense it. And I think for us that are, that you understand this, it's just like even you hear the stories about everybody that's been in our church, people that, you know, maybe not be practicing or they're just, out in the world, and they say something, there's a presence. You can
right.
feel it. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So it's a beautiful
yeah.
feeling.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Is.
So keep that in mind as we go through these the habits that trigger stress, especially at this time of the season. So this is a report actually from the American Psychological Association that nearly half of the women in the United States struggle with stress during the holiday season. And most Canadians also report the holiday season to be the most stressful time of the year. It shouldn't be, really.
It shouldn't be.
But what are the habits that trigger holiday stress? Overspending.
Mm-hmm.
Many people overspend. They end up spending more than they would during the holidays. And this causes a very low emotional return on investment. So refrain from making purchases simply because everyone else is, and make a plan to manage your money during this very pricey mm-hmm. time of year. Or you can go further and ask family members to break from expensive holiday traditions. I just found it interesting on it. It was a Black Friday, whatever, and you get these pictures of all these people that are storming the stores and fighting. I mean, it's
fighting
just, I'd hate to be part of that. Yesterday I went to, I had to get Christmas cards that probably will not get sent, you know, because here that I got to do this, you know, at least I can, if I can find the time, and I will not, I'm hoping by the miracle of God's grace, I'll find some time. But I went to Target, mm-hmm. right? Our Target.
That's what I said.
Target.
Target.
And it's dizzying just to go into that place.
Yeah. I thought it was just me.
Dizzy. I went into especially a brain now. Fog, and I was in that brain fog the rest of the day, even during the mass yesterday. It was a terrible sense. But I just had to get out of there. Just get me out of here. You're just bombarded with things everywhere. Where do you focus?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you focus?
There's so much. And then people are in a rush.
Yeah, it's not that there were too many people there at that time, you know, but it was just the idea.
Yeah, it's so overwhelming.
But, you know, everything is... And yes, you know, as I'm walking through the aisles, I see things that, oh, this would be nice to have that. It would be nice to have that.
This is half off. This is good. This is a good price.
Yeah, so anyway. I was... Yeah, I'm not going to go into what I was looking at. Carpet and all that, and I thought, no, I just... But it was just... It was dizzying.
Yes.
Very, very stressful. But I can see, you know, the allurement. You know, buy me, you know. So, anyway. So that's one thing, overspending. Number two is striving for perfection. Trying to create the perfect experience for the kids or the entire family. That can be stressful. So look out for signs of holiday perfection, such as making all the gifts handmade or preparing meals the entire day and doing many things in order to enjoy the holiday the fullest. Although I'll tell you, you know, that's part of the joy of it is preparing all day the food and all that. Yeah. So, you know, but it's just I think we're in a different time. You know, we're, you have too many gadgets, too much technology, and you know, there's so that's that would be just trying to be too perfect. Just relax, you know, make it simple. Number three, everybody will understand this. I'm certain. Family arguments.
Yes.
You know, you vow not to argue, only to find yourself in the middle of a heated family disagreement.
Yes.
You know, so you've got to practice a little bit of self-control, avoid engaging in arguments. It's going to leave somebody feeling miserable or leaving you feeling miserable.
Regret.
So you can't
say what you said.
You can't control what others are going to say, but you have to already prepare yourself not to deal with disagreements when they arise. So family arguments. Getting enough sleep.
Yes.
7 to 8 hours, you know. And I think it was part of the problem yesterday because we were all up so early.
Yeah.
Because we had the...
What time were you up, Father?
Well, for me, I can't complain because I live where I work, right? So I was thinking of the people who were coming from Plainfield
far
away or from anywhere.
Sure.
I got up at 4 o'clock, which is early.
I got up at 3.
At 3? Because you have to get dressed up and all that because you've got the costume.
The costume and just the braid. Well, I didn't do the braiding, but I tried to put the
ribbons.
I thought
you had them done for the night.
Huh?
At the nighttime you had them, didn't you? The braids?
No, in the morning I did the ribbon thing and then I took it out for here for the office and then I did it again in the evening.
All right.
But it's just at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So by the time the end of the day came, everybody was tired.
I was tired. I crashed.
The stress. we didn't get enough sleep.
No.
7 to 8. I never have 7 hours of sleep.
Me neither.
At most, 6.
Yeah.
You can
feel it when you have less than normal.
Yes.
Like yesterday, I was up for the whole day.
So you felt it.
I couldn't go back and rest. I had things to do.
Yeah.
And then I just got stuck, and I was drinking coffee all day.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. No,
but I did crash the minute I came home. That's usually something I never do.
See, my problem is at the end of the day, because I have mass at 7 o'clock, and so the only real time I have for myself is late at night. And so, whereas I probably should go to sleep by 10 o'clock, but by the time I get to my room, it's already 8:30, 9 o'clock. Sometimes later. Late. Yesterday was later. It was about 9:30.
And if your mind is still on, that's the worst.
It takes a while to unwind when you get.
So I don't think I'll. Got to sleep until midnight last night. So
it's
not good. And then you get up early because I have, you know, things to do. And children's confessions at 8 already. So you got to. And I don't. Even if I go to bed late, I never sleep later than 5:30. 5 o'clock. 5:30
in the morning.
Just want to get up. Yeah.
Oh, that's too early for me.
I just have this thing about if the sun is out, or if it's dark out, it's time to get up. If the sun is out. I've already slept, overslept.
Right. It's too late.
You know my problem is, Father, I wake up in the middle of the night. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I can't go back to sleep. And then when it's time to get up, then
sure. You hate that.
Tough luck.
Sense of rest. So
Yes.
Get sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Skipping workouts for those who exercise.
I've skipped that out years ago.
But it's true what they say.
No, it's true. Fine.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, even if I don't exercise,
right.
I have to, because that's what gives me the energy. And
it does make a difference. I'm just thinking back when I used to work out.
But it's if you can't keep your regular exercise routine, mm-hmm. then at least try to, you know, get out and walk or jump rope.
Walk,
or something like that. Jump rope.
Jump rope.
Or the trampoline. Or
jump rope.
Trampoline.
The rebounder, whatever.
Rebounder, yeah. That's my big exercise.
That's becoming popular again, Father.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes, the rebounder.
Okay.
They're showing it as really? One of the best exercises.
It is. I love it. So
I don't think it'll work for me.
I don't know. Might.
That'll break after a while.
And I think this one is, nah, you'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah, I know.
This last one, I think, is probably one of the most stressful, is unpreparedness.
Yes.
You're overwhelmed by the shopping, the cooking, the activities, the visiting, the parties. You know, you tell yourself every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start in October or the 1st of November. Like I said yesterday, I went to get Christmas cards that won't go out.
I'm never going to do this next year. And then the year comes and you're doing the same thing.
Because everything happens so fast.
Yeah,
so
and you leave everything at the last minute. That's stressful when you're trying to do, well, it just said that, right? Trying to do everything at the last minute.
And that's what happens with the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe. Because when we get to that feast, and I know we're pushing against the clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then here, you know, it's...
The
letters
deadlines.
Have to be prepared, deadlines
those
and all
deadlines.
That stuff. Anyway, so those are, I think everybody can relate to that.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a joke, I don't know if I showed you, about families when you get together and they start arguing, and they showed this cherry pie. Somebody preparing a cherry pie, and it says how to spend a quiet and peaceful holidays with your family. And they're pouring in the cherry NyQuil into the...
Oh, it's terrible.
The cherry pie.
It's terrible. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. And today's the feast. I'm still mm-hmm. tired from you.
Yeah.
The Feast of Saint
Lucy.
We'll be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to Listener Supported Words of Change. I name 750 WNDZ.
The Spirit of Advent with Father Dominic Legge.
The Church's season of Advent commemorates two comings of Christ: first, as a little child in Bethlehem, and second, as a King at the end of time who will come to judge the living and the dead. Now, we might think that that's a kind of frightening thing to meditate on, the coming of Christ in the Last Judgment, but it actually can be very consoling. Jesus will come again to reestablish true justice for all time. And so we can ask Christ to come into all of the places where there is injustice and suffering. Let's ask this Advent for Christ to be our King, the King of my life, the King of my family, to reign over our country and over our world, to establish justice and to bring true peace. What a great gift we can receive this Advent.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, so this is a... is it just the time we're living in, you know? It's the stress of it all. We've just got to decide the pull away, the this is maybe part of the nurturing a proper kind of asceticism, mm-hmm. the pull away from a lot of this stuff and create, create the space. I've got to have this space. I have to do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't survive.
Or even the fact that we live in the big city. The city life is always more fast-paced than when you go into a rural area. And I find this so true. When I go to Mexico and have family they live more in the rural area,
kind of long
the small towns, I am at so much peace because you don't have all this other stuff.
Right.
Like the technology, the phone. There, it's that you spend time with your family, quality time. It's just the life is more slower pace. Even somebody from the south, they came from Texas, mm-hmm. and they grew up here in Chicago.
Sure,
they said they came here to visit family. They said we wanted to go back home. It was too overwhelming. Just the fast pace, the city life.
Yeah, I've had people who come that visit from the south, family members or friends, few friends I have from mm-hmm. time to time, you know, but it's they love the city, but they just say it's just overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
You know, it's too much. Now, I, on the other hand, I prefer to be in
in
a city like Chicago. I see there, give me Chicago, give me New York, give me Rome, those three places. Yeah. But I value, you know, any time I can to get away from.
To get
But it's trying to find an oasis. Now I live in a church, so mm-hmm. I've got access to my chapel. You know, I tell you, everybody should have a chapel. Mm-hmm. Everybody should create space in there.
Yeah.
We talk about creating space.
Home.
Create a space in your home if you can. And I think many people have a certain place where they can go. Where they can have that calm or that peace, you know. But make it a place
for prayer.
We have
to create, even like at home. I have my living room is like a chapel, if you want to call it. I have the images of the Divine Mercy, our mm-hmm. Blessed Mother, and the Sacred Heart. I have candles, and the candles. That's what brings me, prayer, but the candles.
But that's the we call
space.
That what a cataphatic. We call it cataphatic spirituality as opposed mm-hmm. to apophatic. Mm-hmm. If that makes any, that wouldn't mean anything to anybody, perhaps. But I think it's the cataphatic type spirituality is where you have the use of icons and incense and candles,
scented candles and all that,
images and just these things that. Really bring us to be, it makes us conscious. An apophatic would be more this kind of a barrenness, like the desert, a starkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people go into the desert to find God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of what you're saying, into the country, but it's without all the, you know, so we talk about the stores or... I could mention Target. All due respect, I just can't, it's not just Target; it's any place.
I find it
makes me want to faint. Not faint, but
it's too much. It's overwhelming.
It's too dizzy.
I just don't like a lot of choices.
You
want one thing; that's all you need. You don't need everything.
And it's so true because then you want something, spend so much time choosing which one should I get.
Yeah.
That is so true. Yeah. Time consuming.
Anyway, some people like that, and God bless them. Those who like to shop, some people are like mm-hmm. to shop.
They're shopaholics.
They'll shop, shop till they drop.
I know professionals.
I'm looking for a professional shopper for something right now.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that, Christina.
Are you a
shopper?
I am.
You got to look for the professionals.
I'm good at that, but now I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to be good. I mean, if I'll get something for someone else, but I'm like, I have too much. I don't need this.
QVC or...
I stopped that a long time ago.
Keep me away from a mall. I haven't been in a mall in years and years. I can't stand to go to a mall.
Yeah.
I hate malls.
You know what I think? The new thing, the new job should be people, okay, I want you to go find, this is what I need, go out and get it, and I'll pay you.
You got to find the people.
It's a new job.
I'm sure there's, you can probably hire professional shoppers.
Well, they have that.
Wow, see, that's how far
But like you said, a lot of people do it online now, so you know, which is convenient.
It's like you have to know See, this is some people, they don't know what to get their family members. What you have to know your family members, know their likings, their tastes, what to know what to buy them.
Yeah.
Or the easiest thing is to buy them gift cards and then they get what they want, right. Or just give them, or what do you call those credit card gift cards, right. And let them buy their own stuff.
I usually find those years later.
I do that.
Years later, yeah.
Wow, I got one of these. I didn't do anything with it.
Which is probably the wisdom behind that, you know, because it, whatever.
That's what I do.
Because these companies know that they're probably, whatever. We're going to talk more about gift giving, you know, but in a proper way. But this is, we're just kind of complaining right now. I think, you know,
it's frustration.
Because people love to give. I mean, I remember when I was working for Sears Roebuck, this is before I went to the seminary, and when I finally was making, I was right out of high school, so I was making money for the first time. I mean, I would make money. I would mow grass and all that, mow lawns, but this was a real,
job.
8-hour-a-day job. And so I was making money, in my opinion, at that time. It was good money, you know, and I was very excited when Christmas came around because I was able to buy presents for everybody in the family, and I remember how happy I was, you know, that made me very, very happy. And when I think back, they were really trinkets and all that I bought, little things, but it was something, you know, and I worked in the catalog department. So, you know, the old Sears catalog, I'd go through and I was able to, and it's kind of like the online ordering. I didn't have to go shopping, but I shopped through the catalog.
Yeah.
But I remember it made me very happy when it came in and I had the presents at a friend's house and I went there and I wrapped them and it was just a great feeling. Mm-hmm. At this point, you know, I'm not a gift giver. I shouldn't say that. I would like to. I don't have the possibility,
the
ability to do that. But but God bless those who are. My mother was, really into. That was her thing, you know.
Well, some people that they're good at that.
It's just that you have to know what, or something that has meaning that you know it's going to touch them. Something that they're gonna use, but there's something behind that, the gift giving.
But you know and people say, I've heard people say, well, if you give a present, something you really went out and you searched for it, you bought it, you know, there's a lot of heart that went into it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, you know, those credit cards and all that are very valuable because that allows you the freedom then to use those in a practical way.
Sure,
you know, you know what practical needs you have, right?
Like one of those gasoline credit. Who's not going to need money for gas?
Exactly.
Stuff, stuff like
it's
that.
It's easier too, because I mean, instead of going out and let's say getting a shirt or something, well, here, this is you
choose.
Go online. You do whatever you do, so it's more on.
Or for somebody that likes coffee,
right?
Get them.
That's even a good thing.
Starbucks.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. All right. And so now we finally get into St. Lucie.
Yes.
Right. Should we take a final break maybe? Because Armin's here. That means we always got to get all these three breaks in, you know? It's funny how when he's here, we do that. He's like the principal, like the teacher. We'll take a break and then we'll come back and wrap up with St. Lucie. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change. Your name, 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
We live in strange times, full of contradictions, many of which we create and then force upon ourselves. An example.
To hear the rest of this and other bold talks with Father Thomas Loya, visit taberlife.org and go to the main menu and click subscribe.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we kind of wrap up. This is a feast of Saint Lucy. I like Saint Lucy for some reason. You know, there are certain saints you gravitate toward.
Yes.
And Lucy, maybe because my grandmother's name was Lucy, I don't know. But I like Lucy, and I like the name Lucy.
Lucy.
But she was, she died in the, she was martyred. She's one of the few women mentioned in the Roman canon. I think there's about, what, six or eight women. They're all martyrs, you know, in the first part of the Roman canon. It's just, all those that are mentioned are martyrs. They were the martyrs. But St. Lucy, well, she was martyred at the age of 21 in the year 304 in, wow, Siracusa. You know where that's at? In Sicily.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
In Sicily. This was the kind of the last and the most severe persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire under the Diocletian persecution. Mm-hmm. The emperor Diocletian, and there was various emperors at the time under the in the Roman Empire: Diocletian, Maximian, Galerius, Constantine, no?
Mm-hmm.
Issued a series of edicts, rescinding Christians' legal rights and demanding that they comply with traditional religious practices. In other words, they had to make sacrifice to the gods of the Romans. And these edicts targeted the clergy, and they basically demanded universal sacrifice, ordering all inhabitants to sacrifice to the gods. And so the persecution, it varied in different areas, you know, whether you're living in the area where Diocletian was, or Maximian, Galerius. Constantine wasn't a great persecutor. But anyway, the Christians had always been subjected to local discrimination in the empire. But the early emperors, they were reluctant to issue general laws against the sect at the time. They saw it as a sect. And it wasn't until the 250s, under the reigns of Decius and Valerian, that laws were passed. And again, Christians were compelled to sacrifice to Roman gods or face imprisonment and execution. So Diocletian surrounded himself. Well, first of all, he purged the army of Christians, and he surrounded himself with public opponents to Christianity. Anyway, so as the story goes on. But but Lucy was... she was from a rich and noble family, parents. Her father was a Roman origin. Her mother was a Greek. Eutychia was her mother's name. But they were Christians, and Lucy had consecrated her virginity to God, which was not uncommon at that time. That was very, very common among the early martyrs. And she wanted to distribute. Her father died young when she was very young. I think she was just a child. She was 5 years old. And so she wanted to, she knew she was going to get a dowry, a significant amount of money. She wanted already to give it to the poor. But her mother, who was also very sick, feared that, as a mother would, she feared for Lucy's future. And she had arranged Lucy's marriage to a young man of a wealthy pagan family. But anyway, the mother was sick, and so they made this trip to Catania, to the shrine of St. Agatha, who had been martyred 52 years before. And this became a place where pilgrims went. Again, already they were asking the saints to intercede for them, and many miracles reported to have happened through her intercession, the intercession of St. Agatha. And so Eutychia, the mother, persuaded Lucy, that, you know, they would make the pilgrimage to Catania, in the hopes of a cure. And while they were there, St. Agatha came to Lucy in a dream and told her that because of her faith, the faith of her mother, because of her faith, her mother would be cured, and that Lucy would be the glory of Syracuse, just as Agatha was of Catania. And her mother was cured, and so Lucy took the opportunity to persuade her mother to allow her to distribute a great part of her riches among the poor. But the mother didn't want her to do that. She thought, you know, use it as a dowry, or, you know, save it as a bequest at the end of her life, you know. Then she can give it to the poor. And Lucy said, she countered by saying, whatever you give away at death, for the Lord's sake you give because you cannot take it with you. Give now to the true Savior, while you are healthy, whatever you intended to give away at your death. So, in any case, the guy that she, the young man she was betrothed to marry, because when the news got to him that she was distributing her wealth to the poor, he reported her to the governor of Syracuse, who ordered her to burn a sacrifice to the emperor's image. And when she refused to do this, he sentenced her to be defiled in a brothel. She was a virgin. So the tradition of the church states that when the guards came to take her away, they could not move her, even when they hitched her to a team of oxen. They put even bundles of wood heaped upon her and set it on fire, but it wouldn't burn. And so finally she met her death by a sword. It's also reported that her eyes were gouged out,
mm-hmm.
because she had predicted, she prophesied that there would be a very quick end to the persecution, and that Diocletian would reign no more, and that Maximian would meet his end. And so so for this reason, they ordered the guards to remove her eyes. That's why she's often depicted, you know, holding her eyes on a plate. Yeah. So it's just an interesting story. But let's see, what else do I want to say? Her name and why her feast day is in December is because Lucy, the name means, it comes from light, lux. She's the bearer of light in the darkness of winter. Her feast day is, well, today, December the 13th. And she's the patroness, of course, of Syracuse in Sicily. She's buried all over the place, by the way. As happened with those saints of that time, their bodies are everywhere, parts of the body. But anyway, we're just about at the end of the show, I see already. Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Well, at least we got St. Lucy. So St. Lucy, pray for us, you know, bring light into our darkness so that we can be free of the stress, too much stress. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.